HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Among the Bros, a Fraternity Crime Story by Max Marshall. Read by Stephen Graybill. To Rachel and Charlie. They made it back up front to their seats just in time to sing with all their friends. The road goes on forever, and the party never ends. Todd Snyder, Beer Run. The joy of feeling at home everywhere belongs only to kings, wolves, and robbers. Honoré de Balzac. Chapter 1. Wolves of King Street. When Mikey Schmidt entered the College of Charleston as a freshman in the class of 2017, he'd just finished a 7-inch growth spurt. For the first 3 years of high school, he'd remained 5'0", and some boys called him Little Mikey. During JV basketball games, opposing coaches thought he was a 12-year-old trash talker playing above his level, not a 17-year-old whose voice hadn't changed yet. Classmates told him he was going to be a legal midget forever, and his mom took him to a specialist for a bone age scan. The doctor told them a spurt was coming. In senior year, Mikey began to grow. Every morning for 3 months, he woke up with leg pain, and his jeans started to look like capris. By August, he left for college with a deeper voice and a new wardrobe courtesy of his mother. Still, Mikey had topped out at 5'7", just small enough to stay Little Mikey for the rest of his life. Mikey had picked the College of Charleston for the same reasons a lot of boys do. He'd enjoyed visiting Charleston on vacation, and he'd read that the college had a nearly 7-to-2 girl-to-guy ratio. At CFC, he'd choose between swimming off Folly Beach and golfing at Wild Dunes. He could sell his mom on the small class sizes and 80-minute flight home to Atlanta, and he could also go out 4 or 5 nights a week. Even before his growth spurt, Mikey had been a rowdy kid. He hadn't been afraid to drink before class or leave campus in his 1990s Mercedes to smoke outside Chick-fil-A. After driving through his St. Francis High School classmate's front yard, he dated the cutest girl at the Mount Vernon school, even though his voice was almost as high as hers. He knew the lyrics to most Gucci Mane and Future songs, and one time he showed a younger kid on the JV basketball team $10,000 in cash that he'd made from selling weed. Still, Mikey wanted a different social life at CFC. In college, his stepfather couldn't ground him for downloading Ludacris's Move Bitch on iTunes, and his friends wouldn't need to know that his voice had only just changed. When he got on campus, he'd be a prep school kid with good hair and a drop-top SL500. After he woke up and smoked a blunt without a towel under his door, he could put on an Augusta National shirt or a Southern Tide visor and try to join a good fraternity. I learned about Mikey Schmidt thanks to a press conference held during the 2016 College of Charleston summer break. Standing under a photo of $100 bills, Charleston's police chief, Greg Mullen, announced one of the largest busts in the city's history, a 6-month collaboration between local police, state law enforcement, the DEA, the FBI, and the U.S. Postal Service. Chief Mullen pointed to a row of tables to show what they'd seized: 5 pounds of marijuana, 1.5 pounds of cocaine, 7 firearms, a TAC-D grenade launcher, $214,000 in cash, and 43,000 pills worth $150,000. During his speech, he also said that the case was related to the murder of Patrick Moffley on the first Friday of that year's CFC spring break. Detectives had found Moffley, the son of a luxury real estate developer and a Charleston school board member, lying on the floor of his house a block from campus. He'd been holding a Chipotle napkin to a wound in his chest, and his body had been surrounded by a few hundred loose pills.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?